I count it a privilege to have this opportunity this morning to speak at our international conference. I suppose in some ways we could call this an Irish morning, an Irish song leader and an Irish preacher. We've even got the Irish flag up here, the Southern Irish flag here and the Northern Irish flag here, and so we're just halfway in between the two. Many of you trace your roots from Ireland, perhaps from Scotland, perhaps from Wales, perhaps from England, the four countries that make up the British Isles. We have a saying that if you put two English people together, two Englishmen together, they form a line, form a queue. If you know English people, they're very well disciplined. Put two Englishmen together, they get into line. Put two Welshmen together, they start a choir. Put two Scottish people together, they build a bank. But if you put two Irish people together, they start a fight. We've got two Irish people on the platform, so we better be careful. I'm thankful that God saved my wife and myself back there in Belfast, Northern Ireland, for over 40 years ago. I'm thankful that 3 months after that, God called us into child evangelism work. I'm thankful that at the same time, He brought us into contact with Child Evangelism Fellowship, and that we had the privilege of introducing the work of CEF into Ireland and of being the national directors there for the 14 years which followed. I'm thankful that God called us over to the mainland of Europe and that for the last 29 years we have been regional directors of CEF in Europe. I'm thankful for the way God has blessed the work, for the way it has grown, for the children who have heard the gospel and for the children who have come to Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that now, at this particular stage, we are handing over the leadership of the work in Europe to Roy and Ruth. Starting in July, they will be the new leaders. I feel that leaders need to know not just when to come into the work, but also when to hand over the leadership to someone younger and someone else. And so Roy and I have worked together in a very happy partnership for 20 years, and Roy and Ruth will become directors. This summer, I will be 66, and I think it's time for a younger man to take over. My wife and I will continue full-time in CEF. We're not leaving CEF work. We're not retiring. I hate that word. We're not retiring. We're simply going into another ministry, handing over administration to someone else, and we have 11 projects lined up that we will be working on a full-time basis as part of European CEF. We're looking forward to that very much. I'm sure that many of us have come here to this conference with questions. Questions that we're looking answers for. And as I was thinking about this, I can think of 5 questions that you and I might have this morning. The first question that we might be asking ourselves is, who does God want me to evangelize? Where? That's a good question. The second question follows on logically, and that is, when I reach these people that God wants me to evangelize, what does He want me to say? And then the third question is, once I know who I'm to reach and once I know what I'm to say, how does He want me to say it? And so there's the who and the what and the how. And then when we get a little bit deeper, we start to ask ourselves, as God shows us what He wants us to do and He shows us what He wants us to say and He shows us how He wants us to say it, we go a little bit deeper and we ask ourselves the question, why should I do this? Why should I take this step? Why should I go to these children? Why should I go to this particular place? And then the fifth question, the bottom line is, what can I expect to happen? What will the consequences be of taking this step? Perhaps God is working in the hearts of some of us already this morning, and there's something that God is laying upon our hearts, and perhaps during this conference, God is expecting us to give a response to Him. It's interesting to me that before the Lord Jesus went back to heaven, He gave us the Great Commission. We all have read and preached. We all have been challenged by that last Great Commission given by the Lord Jesus. It's also interesting to note that that last Great Commission was given 5 times. At least it's recorded 5 times in the New Testament. Probably they were 5 different occasions when the Lord Jesus repeated the Great Commission because He wanted us to understand what He wanted us to do. And it's especially interesting for me as I read these five records of the Great Commission to see that each of the five records of the Great Commission answer the five questions that we have just put to ourselves. Each of these questions is answered by one of the records of the Great Commission. Let's have a look at these records and see the answers. What was our first question? The first question was, who does God want me to evangelize? And where? We turn to Mark chapter 16, that well-known record of the Great Commission. And in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, we have the answer to this question. The Lord Jesus said to his disciples, to us, in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world, that's the where, and preach the gospel to every creature, that's the who. And so when we come this morning and we say, who does God want me to evangelize and where, here we have the answer. The answer is everywhere, everybody. Biblical evangelism is not child evangelism. That's a strange thing to say in a child evangelism conference. Biblical evangelism is not youth evangelism. Biblical evangelism is not adult evangelism. Biblical evangelism, according to Mark 16, verse 15, is total evangelism. The Lord Jesus sends us into all the world to reach every creature. That's biblical evangelism. And I would love to go to all the world, and so would you. And I would like to reach every creature, and so would you, but I can't. And so I come to the Lord and I say, Lord, I want to go everywhere and I want to reach everyone, but I can't do it. Will you show me which specific people do you want me to reach and which specific country do you want me to work in? And he shows us. 43 years ago, the Lord Jesus showed me that my specific field was to be with children, part of the every creature. And for 14 years, my ministry was to be in Ireland, part of the everywhere, and then later on in Europe. He shows us which part. But the mandate of evangelism, the mandate of the gospel is everywhere, everybody. And God gives us a heart for the whole world, and God gives us a heart for everybody, and then we focus in and we zero in on that particular part, that particular area which God has placed upon our heart. And I'm sure for most of us here, if not all of us here, God has called us to evangelize boys and girls. This is the mandate. People come to me, you know, and as a man, and years ago as a young man, they would come to me and say, Brother Sam, what is your ministry? I would say, child evangelism. They say, well, what else do you do? I say, nothing else. That's my ministry. Well, why do you evangelize children? Because of Mark 16, verse 15. The Lord Jesus gave me the mandate to preach the gospel to every creature, and that includes boys and girls. This is the mandate of evangelism. This is who we should evangelize, and this is where. And then we come to question number two. Now we know that God wants us to work with children. That's the mandate. We have heard this command. Then we ask ourselves the question, well, what do I say when I reach the children? What is my message of evangelism? First of all, we hear the mandate, and then we understand the message. What does God want me to say when I come to the boys and girls? What should I say as I evangelize them? The Lord Jesus gives us the Great Commission again in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. He repeats himself, yes, but at the same time he emphasizes not so much the mandate, that's Mark 16, 15, but in Luke chapter 24 and verses 46, 47, and 48, he emphasizes the message. First of all, we hear the mandate, and then secondly, we understand the message. What does the Lord Jesus want me to say as I go to boys and girls in USA, in Europe, or around the world? Listen to the words of the Lord Jesus in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, and reading from verse 46. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. This is the Great Commission. But the emphasis in this record of the Great Commission is upon the message. And if you look at these verses together, if we look at these together, you'll see three simple truths about the gospel, about evangelism, in these verses. This is one of the most concentrated capsules of the gospel to be found in the New Testament. First of all, there are the facts of the gospel in verse 46. The facts. It is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Those are the facts of the gospel. This is the message of evangelism. When we come to boys and girls, we give them the facts. And the facts are that the Bible teaches that Christ died for our sins and that Christ rose again. Those are the facts of the gospel. Those are almost exactly the words which the Apostle Paul used in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 as he outlined the gospel to the Corinthian Christians. He spoke about the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ according to the Scriptures. These are the facts of the gospel which we proclaim to the boys and girls. But secondly, not only are there the facts of the gospels, there is the command of the gospel. It's not enough when we come to boys and girls just to give them facts. We want to see a response. We want to bring the command of God to these boys and girls. And so the Lord Jesus, as he gives us this message, he not only gives us the facts in verse 46, but in verse 47 he says, and that repentance should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Here is the command of God concerning the gospel. We read in Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Here we have the command that Jesus Christ gives to us. We who are evangelizing children, we are to bring them the command to repent. This is the message of the Lord Jesus. This is the message he gives us. We should be preaching repentance to our boys and girls. What is repentance? Repentance is a change of mind which leads to a change of direction. Repentance is a change of mind concerning sin, concerning God, which leads to a change of direction in my life. One of the most common words used in the New Testament to explain the conversion, the experience of salvation, is the word conversion. Except ye be converted. We often use the word conversion. The word conversion means turning. The person who comes to Christ turns. Conversion is turning. Now you and I know that when we turn, there's just one turn. Conversion just happens once. It's just one experience. We were converted. We turn. But in a conversion experience, there's something we turn from. And there's something we turn to. Now, they both happen instantaneously. They both happen at the same time. But I can't turn to if I don't turn from. And if I truly turn from, I turn to. Turning from is the negative. Turning to is the positive. Turning from is repentance. Turning from the old way of life. Turning from sin, turning from the fact that I haven't pleased God. I turn from that, and as I turn from that, I trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. We are saved by faith. We are not saved by repentance. The Bible teaches by grace are you saved through faith. But the faith which saves contains an element of repentance. True faith contains in it repentance. And the Lord Jesus commands us that we should preach repentance amongst all nations. This is the command of Jesus Christ. And we bring this command to boys and girls. We say to them, the Lord Jesus wants you to turn from your sinful way. He wants you to turn from the way that you're going. And he wants you to turn and trust Christ as your Savior. And when you trust Christ as your Savior, you will be saved. There is, of all the facts of the gospel, there is the command of the gospel, and then there's the promise of the gospel. The third thing we read here, not just that repentance should be preached in his name, but that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. And so we come to boys and girls and we give them the facts, and we bring them the command to repent and to trust Christ as their Savior, and then we bring them the promise. The promise is all your sin is forgiven. All your sin, past, present, and future, is forgiven. What a message. What a privilege to take that message to the boys and girls of the world. And so we know now who we are to reach. We know what we are to say. And then the third question is, how should we say it? Is there any particular way we should proclaim this message? And the answer is found in Matthew chapter 28. The third record of the Great Commission. The closing words of Matthew chapter 28. And if Mark 16 gives us the mandate, and Luke 24 gives us the message, then Matthew 28 gives us the method.
Now, we must know the message before we study the method. But once we have the message, then we ask ourselves, how do I proclaim this message to the boys and girls? And the Lord Jesus tells us in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. He says in King James Version, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Go ye therefore and teach," or "go ye therefore and make disciples. Go ye therefore and make learners. Go ye therefore and make followers. Go ye therefore and teach all nations," and verse 20, "teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." The method of evangelism is teaching. God calls us to a teaching evangelism. I come from Europe, and in Europe the vast majority of children know nothing about the gospel, nothing about the Bible, nothing about God, nothing about Jesus Christ, nothing about sin. I can't stand before those boys and girls and just simply say Christ died for your sins. They don't know who Christ is and they don't know what sin is. I can't stand before those children and just say God loves you. They don't know who God is and they don't know what love is. They don't even know who they are. And so when we come to those children, the biblical method is to teach them. We have to explain, we have to clarify, we have to simplify, we have to illustrate, we have to apply, we have to repeat. This is teaching. God calls us to a teaching evangelism. Not just to throw truths, not just to say things, but to take these wonderful facts over here grew where he didn't plow. He goes back and he plows. And things happen when we evangelize. Children come to Christ understanding very little sometimes. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't teach them anymore. Our responsibility is to sow and to plant and to water. And according to 1 Corinthians, it's God who gives the increase. But we have a responsibility in our ministry. According to Matthew 28, we have a responsibility to be thorough, to do a good job, to be known for thoroughness. And we are called to teach the gospel and to be engaged in a teaching evangelism. That's how we should bring the gospel to boys and girls. And so we have seen the mandate and the message and the method. We have answered the question who, we have answered the question what, and we have answered the question how. And then we come a little bit deeper, and this time we ask the question, why? Why should we do this? Has God been speaking to your heart about some new step that he wants you to take in child evangelism work? Has God been calling some young person here to leave USA and work in some other part of the world? Is God calling you in your area, you and your committee, to take a new step, to venture forth and do something, something new, to reach the boys and girls with the gospel? And then we start to ask, why should I do this? Why should I leave home? Why should I be willing to suffer? Why should I do this? Why should I take this step? I'm quite comfortable where I am. And so for our fourth record of the Great Commission, we turn to John chapter 20. This is one that we often miss. But there is a record of the Great Commission in all four Gospels. And John's record is in John chapter 20. It's very short, very short. John chapter 20, verse 21. It's just half of the verse, the second half of the verse. "Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you." And then listen, dear friends, to these words. "As the Father hath sent me, even so send I you." And if you're asking yourselves the question, if I'm asking myself the question, why should I know who God wants me to reach. I know what he wants me to say. I know how he wants me to say it, but I'm hesitating. It's a big step. I'm nervous. I don't feel I can do it. Dear friends, the why, the motive of evangelism, it's because as the Father sent the Son is sending us. We are sent into this ministry by the nail-pierced hand of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And just as the Father sent the Lord Jesus into this world, just as the Father sent Jesus Christ to suffer, to die, to save, so the Lord Jesus is sending you and he's sending me. Why do we evangelize children? Because the Lord Jesus sends us. I can't think of any greater, better, purer, more worthwhile motive than that. I'm in this work, you're in this work, because the Lord Jesus sent us. And the comparison he uses, and it's a staggering comparison, we would never have dared say this. But the Lord Jesus says, in the same way as the Father sent me, in the same way as the Father asked me to come, in exactly the same way, I'm sending you. And in the same way as I came, in the same way as I said yes, in the same way as I left heaven, and I left the glory of heaven, and I left the riches of heaven, in the same way as I left my comfort and I left my position up there, in the same way I want you to do that. This is the motive of evangelism. This is the why. And God deals with our hearts and God speaks to us. And the Lord Jesus says to us, as the Father sent me, even so this morning, I'm sending you. And what else can we do this morning as we hear the voice of the Lord Jesus, as we feel the touch of His hand upon our lives, and we know He's sending us? What else can we do except, Lord, here am I, send me. Lord, I'm ready, I'm available. And whatever You're laying upon my heart, Lord, I'm not going to hold back. I'm going to do it. I'm going to say yes. Just as You said yes to the Father, I'm going to say yes to You. That's the motive of evangelism. And so as the Lord Jesus gives us the Great Commission, He gives us the mandate, He gives us the message, He gives us the method, and here in John, He gives us the motive of evangelism. But when we come to the bottom line, there's another question that I think is perhaps uppermost in our minds. And perhaps all these other things are clear. We know what He wants us to do. We know what He wants us to say, and we know how He wants us to say it, and already we have said yes. But you know, when you come to the bottom line, we're asking ourselves the question, because we're nervous. Have you ever felt nervous? Have you ever felt when the Lord leads you in a particular way to take a step into the unknown, to do something you've never done before, and there comes that feeling of insufficiency? There comes that feeling of nervousness. There comes that feeling, this is something I cannot do. How can a person like me do something like this? And so I'm so thankful that God, that the Lord Jesus gave us one more record of the Great Commission. And this record is in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1. And here we have not the mandate, not the message, not the method, not the motive, but here we have the means. Here's the means of evangelism. Here's how it works. Here's how children are saved. Here's how our work is blessed. Here's how our work grows. And the Lord Jesus keeps this commission for the last. And He says in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, He says, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." This is the means of evangelism. It's not me. I can't. It's Him. He can. It's not Mrs. Bush. I remember Elsie so well. I was thrilled to hear our brother talk about Elsie last night. I remember Elsie so well. I was with her on a number of occasions. I spoke for her up there in South Bend. Elsie's such a quiet, unassuming little woman. And she would be the last person you would think of as a dynamic evangelist, but God used Elsie in the life of Ron. It wasn't Elsie, it was the Holy Spirit. It was the power of the Holy Spirit saving that little boy. And what God is looking for as He gives us the Great Commission, He's looking for people who are willing to have that power of the Spirit of God resting upon them as we go out with the gospel of Jesus Christ to the boys and girls. Paul writes to Timothy, he says, "God has not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline." Paul came in Acts chapter 17. Paul came to the city of Thessalonica. And in Acts chapter 17, he was there probably just for 3 weeks, maybe not longer. He preached the gospel for those 3 weeks. And what happened? People were saved. People came to Christ. Later on, he wrote to the church. Not only were people saved, but they grew. And they were in Christ, and they grew in Christ, and they formed this church. And Paul wrote to them later on, and he wrote these words in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. He says, "Our gospel came not unto you in word only." Now, the gospel needs to come in word. But Paul says, our gospel did not come in word only, but it came in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. And dear friends in CEF, the longing of your heart and the longing of my heart today is that the Holy Spirit will come upon our ministry in a new way. We're thankful for all the new things in CEF. We're thankful for the new materials and the new methods. We're thankful for new structures and new leaders. We're thankful for new training programs. We're thankful for all those things. But dear friends, I believe with all my heart, after 43 years in Child Evangelism Fellowship, that our greatest need today, as Child Evangelism Fellowship workers and leaders, is not so much for those things, important as they are. Our need today is for a new demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. This is something we cannot do. This is something beyond ourselves. We need Him to work. Our greatest need in our own lives is for that work of the Holy Spirit, that sanctifying work in our relationships. The greatest need in our ministry is that when we get up with the gospel in our own simple way and we proclaim that gospel to children, that the Holy Spirit will bless those words. And the Holy Spirit will bring those words to the hearts of the children. Our greatest need today is that the Holy Spirit will work in the hearts of children. That He will convict them of sin. That He will open their understanding. That He will give them a desire to turn from their sin. That He will regenerate them and justify them. That He will start them on a new life, a life of sanctification. That's something that only the Holy Spirit can do. I have been in child evangelism work for many years. I'm talking from experience. This is not something that we can manufacture. This is not something we can do. This is something only the Holy Spirit can do. There are things that we can try to do. And one of the things we must not do, but there are things that sometimes we try to do. We can produce decisions of a kind. We can produce human decisions. If we have strong personalities, like I have, or if we have the right techniques, and we can get children to make decisions. But my question is, are these decisions the work of the Holy Spirit, or are they my work? I'm talking practically, dear CEF friends. I'm thinking of myself and my ministry. I want decisions that last. I want lives that are changed. I want disciples of Jesus Christ. I cannot produce those, but the Holy Spirit can produce them. And so I pray that the Holy Spirit will come upon our ministry in such a way that He will save boys and girls, and boys and girls that He saves are boys and girls who will grow. They are boys and girls who will have new natures. They are boys and girls who will persevere. They might go back into the world, but God will hold His hand upon them. They will not be happy there. They can't be happy there because they've got new natures. They have been saved by the Holy Spirit. He'll bring them back again. And it's that work of the Holy Spirit that our hearts cry out for. All of us cry out for this morning. Oh God, do a new work in our midst. Do a new work in my ministry. Do a new work in CEF. That the Holy Spirit will work in the children's hearts. Create that desire. Convict them of sin. Draw them to Jesus Christ. You see, the signs of true conversion. The signs of true conversion are a changed life. A changed nature. A new direction in life. We cannot really record or measure our evangelistic success by the number of verbal decisions. The measure of our success is the number of changed lives. Lives that are changed after children have made decisions. The lives of children who are growing in Jesus Christ. That's where our evangelism is a success, and that's only possible through the work of the Holy Spirit. I have my part to play. There are two extremes, and I want to avoid the two extremes. One extreme is the extreme where I sit and do nothing. I give the facts and that's it. The other extreme is where I try to do everything. I try to do not only my work, but the work of the Holy Spirit. And I tell you from my own experience that my greatest problem in child evangelism work, and I confess this to you, I say this to you, my greatest problem in child evangelism work is failing that balance. Finding that middle position where I will do all that God wants me to do. I will pray, I will live, I will explain the gospel, I will challenge the children, I will trust God, I will be available to children who want help. That's my ministry. But I must not trespass upon the work of the Holy Spirit. He's the one who convicts, He's the one who saves. And I don't want to pluck the fruit before it's ripe. I don't want to confuse haste and urgency. I want to be urgent, but I don't want to do the work of the Holy Spirit. I want to trust Him. I want to trust Him to work in the hearts of the boys and girls. I remember one just closing story as I come to the end of what I want to share with you this morning. I remember as a young child evangelist going out into my first five-day club. I'd never been in one before, and I went out to teach it myself. I gathered about 30 children in the open air, and that morning I preached my heart out. I evangelized, I gave the gospel, I made myself available. If you'd like to come to me, I'm ready. I preached my heart out and nothing happened. I went the next morning, Tuesday morning, I preached again. I evangelized, I preached even louder than I had on Monday morning. I gave the gospel, I explained the gospel, I did everything I could. I made myself available, and what happened? Nothing. My first five-day club. Went out on Wednesday morning, preached the gospel, preached my heart out, made myself available. What happened? Nothing. Thursday morning, nothing. And I thought, God's keeping everything until Friday morning. And we're going to have great blessing on Friday morning. Friday morning, that was my loudest of all. That was the longest of all. I preached, I evangelized, I told the children, I was ready to counsel them. What happened? Nothing. And I came home a much sadder and wiser young child evangelist. Nothing happened, and I was tempted, I must confess, I was tempted that week. I was tempted to use pressure. I was tempted to do it. But I resolved not to. I'm going to leave this in the hands of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to leave Him to work. And I remember 10 years ago, I came back to the same area. I preached in a church. And after I had preached, a man invited me home for lunch. I came home for lunch to his house. And I was in the same area where I had my first little five-day club. And I was sitting having lunch with this man, and he told me, he says, brother, something sad happened in our area this week. I said, what happened? He says, a young lady, 18 years old, died this week from leukemia. She's been sick for many years. And I asked the simple question. I says, well, was she saved? He says, yes. He says, wonderful, a wonderful Christian. Let me tell you what happened, he said. Away back, it must have been about 10 or 12 years ago, a man came to this area, and he had a little meeting up there along the street there. And this little girl was in bed with leukemia. She was in bed sick. And she heard this man preaching outside. And she said to her mommy, mommy, would you open the door? I'd like to hear what that man says. And mommy opened the door, opened the window. And she lay in bed and she listened to this man preaching. And he says, that week she lay and she listened to that message every morning. And that week, lying in bed, she trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. And she's been growing in the Lord ever since. He says, brother, isn't that a wonderful story? I said, brother, you have no idea how wonderful that story is. I said, I was that man. And 10 years have passed by, and I never knew that anything happened. What a joy. The Holy Spirit works. We don't have to do His work. He is the agent of regeneration. He is the agent that works in children's hearts. And dear friends, I want to say to you this morning as fellow CEF workers, let's trust Him. Let's pray. Let's pray this morning. Let's pray during this conference that the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, will come upon us, will come upon our ministry, that children will be saved, that children will start to live lives that bring glory to Jesus Christ. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. That's what we need more than anything else. The words came to my mind as I was thinking about our meeting this morning. There shall be showers of blessing. Send them upon us, O Lord. Grant to us now a refreshing. Come and now honor Thy word. Showers of blessing. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling. But for the showers, we plead. There shall be showers of blessing. Oh, that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing. Now as to Jesus we call. Showers of blessing. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling. We're thankful. Thankful for the mercy drops. But oh, for the showers we plead. Our Heavenly Father, we bow our hearts before Thee this morning. We think of the children of the world. We think of the children of our nations. We think of their spiritual need. Father, we call unto Thee. Oh God, may there be a spiritual awakening amongst our children. We have done so much, we have tried so hard, and yet, Father, there seem to be so few children living for you. Oh God, send the showers. Oh God, send the power of the Holy Spirit upon our ministry, into our lives. Work in the hearts of our children. Oh God, we plead. Save our children. Start that revival. Save our boys and girls. And start the work in me. Amen.
Thank you, Sam. I believe this morning Sam has delivered to us a message from God, from His Word, and it's now up to us to allow the Holy Spirit to do His work in each of our lives individually. I'd like to share with you this morning that Sam will be leaving today at the end of two workshops that he's going to participate in today and lead. He must go back to Ireland, this evening. He has a son, Stephen, who is going to have major surgery this week. He's in the hospital right now preparing for the surgery. We need to pray for Sam and for Sadie as his son is undergoing this very serious surgery yet this week. And Sam will be leaving to go to be with his family. But before Sam leaves, as we close this session, the Bible tells us that we are to give honor where honor is due. And Sam has told you today that he's going to be stepping down from his leadership role, though he'll still be in CEF. And Sam has been in a leadership role in CEF for 43 years. And we'd like to show honor to Sam this morning. And Sam, if you'll just step up here for just a moment. We have prepared this plaque for Sam. Actually, it's more than a plaque. It says, Sam and Sadie Dougherty, 40 years of faithful service, 1950 to 1993. And then we look for a verse, Sam, that we understood is a special verse to you, a very special verse, from Isaiah, the 30th chapter, and verse 15. For thus saith the Lord, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. And then at the very bottom it says, giving in loving appreciation, May 13th, 1993, Child Evangelism Fellowship International Conference. Thank you, Sam.
Thank you very much. May God bless you and may God send those showers of blessing. That's what we need and for those we plead. Thank you very much. May God bless you. Thank you, Ray.